Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Welcome into the house of the Lord. You made a right decision today. You're actually in the right place and being obedient to God to come into God's house and to worship Him. And what a sweet, sweet worship. So much is going on. I want to begin by saying thank you so much to all of you who prayed, Dave and I, for our daughter and Sandra this week. You know, she had a gallbladder surgery, and during that surgery, her heart began to spike. And they were concerned about that, her heart, but they went ahead and released her. The cardiologist released her. And she went home that night, and Dan had to take her back in because she was having chest pains, and they were checking for heart attack again. And thankfully, there are no markers for heart attack, and all is well. She still does have to have some echoes and some things done. Of course, just, you know, they're saying it could be COVID-related, yada, yada. But we know that Jesus is our healer, and we know He heals broken hearts and broken lives. And wherever we go, whether it's in a hospital, a prison, wherever we find ourselves, He is there. If I make my bed in hell, and you know what that means? Even if I do something and my life has become a living hell, He's still there. He's still there with us. But this morning, at the end of service, I have just a real quick word that I feel like that God gave me in the night last night. But our message today is actually the Red Sea. And something that kind of occurred to me, Ken, as I was writing this yesterday, some of this that we had talked about was, what's the name of your Red Sea? Maybe it's not a Red Sea at all. Maybe it's a Blue Sea. Maybe it's a Stormy Sea. But there's a name to it, and you know what the name is. But the story of the Red Sea is something we heard from our mom as a child in the Bible storybook about Moses and the people of Israel. You know, we know that Moses delivered the people because God is a deliverer, but they had mountains on each side of them, and they had a Red Sea in front of them, and then the enemy started chasing them by behind. How do you feel when you're surrounded? Have you ever felt that way? That like you just can't catch a break, that you are surrounded on every side, something's going on. There's mountains, there's enemies, there's a big rough waters ahead of you. Well, you know, I want to begin this. We're just going to get right into this, and then I'm going to let Ken share his part. You know, God protected and delivered Moses as an infant child. When he was just a newborn, they were killing baby boys. God protected him and delivered him so that he could deliver other people. Do you know that God has kept you safe and delivered you through everything that you have come through so that you can deliver other people? For one reason only, so that you can help and deliver other people. That's the only reason that you are alive today, so that you can bless other people. And do you know this, that God often, you say, well, why am I not rich and famous? And why am I not done something wonderful? Do you know that sometimes God keeps you too hidden away because he has a plan, something for you to do? He's protecting you. He was not just delivering Moses, he was protecting him and delivering him. And God delivered him from Pharaoh, who represents the enemy, who tried to kill him, tried to kill all. And you know, Pharaoh was successful in killing a lot of other people and keeping them from their destiny. That's not something we talk about, is it? We talk about Moses being delivered, but wait a minute. There were some people that were not delivered. Do you know who they were? They were not God's people. I'm going to tell you that Moses was delivered because he was God's people, that God delivered him as a child because he had plans for him. And you know what, parents, I want to say this to you. Moses had two godly Levite parents, Jochebed and Amram. And you know, it matters that you pray for your kids, if they're delivered or not. It matters, that protection of God. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that and how Moses was supernaturally delivered today. But God is in yesterday, but God is the same deliverer today.
Well, and that's it. God is still opening Red Seas for everybody. Appreciated the worship this morning. It was wonderful to get that churning inside of us. I see this church as a lighthouse that we're going to continue to shine. And that cross is the above our heads. That's the center of everything. We're going to keep preaching the cross. We're going to keep preaching Jesus crucified. You're here today, and we're just human beings. But here's the powerful thing, Pam. When Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the." Do you believe that? And when Jesus was on earth, do you remember what he preached? It said he went to, and he opened the scrolls, and this is what the passage was: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal." So Jesus was saying, when I'm in the room, there's healing in the room. Well, if he's in the room, right, we're two or three, we're not here for Pam. We're not here for me. We're here for Jesus, right? That's why you're. So if Jesus is in the room, and if that means the power of God is here today to open your Red Sea. Pam asked, what's your Red Sea? Maybe you got two or three Red Seas. Do you know that God can do 12 things at one time? You may need lots of miracles, but God's got lots of miracles. So I wanted to say that there is power in the Word, and that's what we're preaching today is the Word. So you cannot expect me to do anything for you, but if you are pulling out of heaven, when you listen to the Word of God, whether it's a preacher preaching or just reading the Word, you've got to pull on that anointing. You've got to look past what I'm saying. You've got to look past the way I look. My dad said it this way. You reach into heaven and you pull. Because that's where the blessings are. And you pull from heaven. Because God falls on the hungry. And we've got to be telling, we need to be telling God that, and I am definitely telling God. My prayer is, God, I want a greater anointing. I want a greater infilling. I want to know you more. I want God to be more real into my life. When you read the Bible, I said this last week, but I want to say it again. The Bible is not like reading any other book. It is a supernatural book. And if you're singing about God or in the presence of God, supernatural things are going to happen. You know how they have these contests and they'll say, if you keep your hand on the car, the last one to keep the hand on the car. I feel like our Christianity is in a way like that. Why would people keep their hand on a car for hours at a time? Because of the reward. They're thinking of the reward. Christianity, the reason that's a bad analogy is we're not competing against one another. The truth is, it's just you touching the hem of his garment. And if that, I think the temptation is to say, I'm going to take away my touch from God. I'm gonna quit on God. And that's every attack of the enemy is the same thing, to get you to quit on your love for God, quit on your love for others, quit on the Word, quit on your worship, quit on church, quit on your brothers and sisters, to just quit. Satan just says, just stop, because he knows the potential in you. But if the car's worth enough, right? If it's worth enough, you say, I don't care. And I love that woman with the issue of blood. I'm going to touch. Okay, I got to get back to Moses, though. That's what we're supposed to be preaching on, Moses, but the woman with the issue of blood is always with us. So Moses is all of our story, whether you realize it or not. And you say, wait a minute. Moses grew up in a palace, and he grew up rich. And you know what? I think that every single person that's going to follow Christ, you're going to have to lay things at the altar. Whether it is personal goals, personal dreams, to say, I trade in this foolish goal for God. And so Moses, here he was in the palace, which, as Pam pointed out, what a sense of humor God had. It was Pharaoh who was trying to kill him, who ended up paying for his education. But he got the finest education. He grew up in the palace. But if you have a call of God on your life, you're going to have to choose. And yes, I'm going to give this back to Pam, but yesterday we had a men's meeting, and Brother Gio was talking about the temptations of Christ And seeing things, we were talking about seeing things from God's perspective, seeing other people from God's perspective, seeing your life from God's perspective is so much different than seeing it from a selfish perspective. But one of the temptations of Christ that Satan said to him, I'm going to show you all the kingdoms of the world. Would you like to bow down and trade in the cross? He wouldn't have had to go to the cross, but Satan was offering him something else. God had offered him something, and Satan said, here's a substitute. That's why we're all, that's the temptation that Christ had, it's the temptation we have, it's the temptation Moses had. And if the correct answer is, you can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. And that has got to be our battle cry. And I love that Moses was able to look past the things of this world, Pam, and say there's a higher calling. Yes. I'll be with the people of God.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there are people in the Bible who God took from the pit to the palace. But the people that God truly, truly, really called to lay down on the altar are the people that went from the palace to becoming God's deliverers and having to go out into the desert. And one of the things that I love about Moses after he was delivered and he was educated by Pharaoh's daughter, I thought that was very, very cool, by the man who was trying to kill him, who had no idea that Moses is actually, he's living in your house. You know, she saved one of those babies. But Moses had a God encounter. And you know what? That's what we all need, a God encounter. We need to open our hearts and tell God, encounter us. God, I'm open to a God encounter. I'm looking for you. Seek first the kingdom. I'm seeking a God encounter. And, you know, a lot of people seek other things, like the temptations of the world. But when we seek God, he will gladly encounter us. And I've had many God encounters in my life. But Moses had a God encounter, and it was kind of, I find humor in the Bible, but Moses had a God encounter with a burning bush. And you might think, well, that's okay, it's a burning bush, and he's seen God. No, it was a talking burning bush. You don't understand. It wasn't just anybody can set it on fire, Dave. We got a burning bush, okay? That's so cool. And we got God. But do you have a talking burning bush that's calling your name? That had to be something. And not just once, just in case you might think, you know, well, did I hear something? Did he call my name? Ken? No, but when he goes, Ken, Ken, you're like, no, that is a talking burning bush. And I think that was so wonderful. But do you know that when God said that he wanted to use Moses, that Moses was just as human as you and I, and he made excuses why he couldn't be used? Not me, not me, not me, not me. Wait a minute. A burning bush is talking to you, Moses. And you're being called by God, and you're saying, no is not the right answer, Moses. No is not the right answer. The answer is, yes, Lord. And how can we even consider arguing with God? Because each and every one of us are called. Do you know that God has called our names sometimes more than twice? Sometimes God has called your name repeatedly, because the call of God, the Bible says, is without a repentance. In other words, he will not shrink back and he will not stop calling you. So you're going to have that on your heart all the days of your life until you answer yes. But Jonah didn't want to do it. Gideon said, I'm not the guy. And Moses said, and I ain't the guy either. Then my question is, if it's not Leslie and it's not Frida and Tony and it's not Ophelia or Eliza or Janice, who is it? Who can God use then? We have to be able to say, Lord, send me, use me. And Moses represents the delivering power of God. Moses could not, watch this. Moses could not have delivered anybody if God had not delivered him first. Do you know Moses could not have led anyone unless God first led him? Unless I first am a follower of Christ, I can't lead anybody else. So we need to take heart when we hear this story.
Okay. How many times in your life have you asked this question, what am I going to do now? When storms hit, you might be asking it right now. What am I going to do now? How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get out of this one? Does that sound like a familiar thing where you go, what am I going to do now? I have a better question, because I think that any time that we say, what am I going to do now, It's the wrong question to ask. The right question is, are you going to trust God this time? Are you going to trust God? Because the answer as to what you should do, if you said, Pastor, I don't know what to do, oh, I already know what you should do. So, hey, but you don't even know what the problem is. The answer is the same for every problem. You should trust the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Every time, what do? I'm going to trust the Lord with all my heart and lean not to his... That scripture that I quote from Exodus all the time is from the life of Moses. Some people trust in chariots. Some people trust in horses, right? Some people trust in the world. They trust in money. They trust in their 401k. They trust in their doctor. They trust in their government. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But we remember the name of the Lord our God. God is the one that we trust. Where does my help come from? David said. Who's going to help me? What am I going to do now? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So every problem that comes our way, it's another test that can be a testimony or it can be a failed test. And in the case of the children of Israel and Moses, this whole arc, which we're only going to cover a very small slice of it. But let me just kind of give you the quick history. That when they left for the first time, when they left Egypt, we get to the Red Sea. And does God deliver them by a mighty, mighty? Yes. Wouldn't you think if you had been there and God had opened the Red Sea and you'd walked through on dry land, that would be enough to convince you that God is God? But these people were so stubborn, not like us, thank God, then even after that, they begin to say, what are we going to eat? And like, couldn't they have said, God's going to provide us instead of what are we going to eat? These people that said that they had the stones in their hand, they were going to stone Moses because they said, you brought us out here and now give us water. They actually said, a million people said to Moses, give us water now. Like Moses would say, oh, I got some in my backpack, here it is. Okay, but they need water. So what does God tell Moses to do? He tells him to take the rod that budded, which represents the whips coming down on Jesus' back, the rod of judgment, and strike the rock. Who's the rock? Jesus. Moses takes it and the whip comes down on the rock. And what comes out is living water. But fast forward 40 years after God's provided them with manna and quail and taken care of them, of course, 40 years because they were so disobedient, God was like, we got to get rid of this generation and get a brand new generation. And do you know they did the same thing? But real quickly, when the same thing happened, God did not say, take the rod and strike the rock. Right. You know what he said? He said, speak to the rock. That's why Moses got in trouble. You're not supposed to hit Jesus again. He's already been crucified. He's already raised. We now are of the new covenant. We speak to the rock. We speak words of faith. But we've got to speak. Pam, God can't use us if we're not obedient. Right. And not only that, but he can't use us if we're not available. Right. And I want to go back to what you said a few minutes ago, because we might have missed it as a church. She was talking about that she's praying to God for God for more. She's praying to God for a greater infilling, that she's telling God she's available. And you know what? I don't care how many sermons we hear. I don't care how good or bad they are. What God needs is a heart that's so passionate that's saying, Jesus, I need you. And sometimes I feel like Jacob, I want to be wrestling with God. I want to say, I can't let go of you until you bless me. I can't let, because there is more to life than living your job and paying your bills and coming to church. We are part of the kingdom of God, and we have the privilege of knowing him. And Pam, when the Bible says that if we draw close to him, that he will draw close to us. And that's got to be the cry of our heart, and the cry of this church. I want us to be a church of prayer. I want us to be a church of the Holy Spirit. I want us to be a church of love. And I believe that we are staying faithful, and you are staying faithful. Because you were, I'm going to give this to Pam. Pam was telling me right before service, nothing to do with this message, nothing to do with anything, but she was just telling me about how God is going to outpour in the last days. And I'm not going to miss that. I want to stay available for that. I want to see it all. And I want to be a part of it.
You know, that is so true. If you want to be used by God, you know, it is so important to ask God, just use me, use me, use me, Lord. Encounter me, encounter me. Tell me things that I would not have, no, any other way. And there are things that God has shown me that when I talk to people, just not long ago, I talked to a girl and she was asking a question, and I said, all I have is the word, and I gave her the word, and she said, that is exactly the word that God just told me. How could you possibly know that? How could you know that? How could you speak that out of your mouth? That's God. That's the Holy Spirit. And so I want to ask you a question this morning, because we know that Moses was obedient to the call of God, even to the giving up the palace. You know, I'm not going to go through this today because I'm not on the slot to teach this morning. That's my Monday night. But there are so many similarities between Moses as a deliverer and Jesus Christ as a deliverer. Do you know that Moses left the palace to become a deliverer of God's people? Do you know that Jesus left heaven of the palace of the king to become a deliverer? There are so many parallels to Moses and to Jesus. I could go through them and just hit them like this, but I'm going to save that for a teaching. But I want to hit obedience this morning, because I think that in the body of Christ, we are missing one key that will open the door to blessings, and that is to obey every single thing in God's word that he tells us to do. And do not miss a beat. Don't miss the mark. Don't slack up on anything God tells you to do. But Moses, what would one man's obedience possibly mean? What if I told you that God wants to make you a deliverer of people, and that you're going to deliver multitudes of people? When Moses said yes to God, he was saying, yes, I will deliver. This is a conservative estimate here. 2.4 million people out of bondage, out of their problems, out of being beaten, tormented, out of being in slavery. 2.4 plus million people he delivered. If he had not said yes to God, there would be 2.4 million plus people in bondage, and through the generations, their children and their children's children would have continued on in bondage. But because of Moses, they got to go to the promised land. It was amazing what God can do with one person. So I am here to tell you that you're saying yes to God is a very important thing. And there are people, your children and your children's children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my great-great-grandchildren that are yet to be born are going to be prayed for by me. They already are. I already pray for the children yet to be born into my family. I pray that God will anoint them. I pray that God will protect them. The other day when my Sandra came in my house, before she even was going in the beginning of this, when we first went to the ER, and she sat down on my coffee table and she just started sobbing. And she said, something's wrong, Mom, something's wrong. I've been telling you something's wrong and I just can't do this anymore. And I said, do you believe? Do you believe, Sandra, that God's very word, that he will protect you, that he will deliver you from this, and just what we're talking about today. And I said, what you are afraid of is cancer, and you are afraid of dying. And I am here to tell you that you don't have to die, because Jesus died for you, and that God will bring you out of this. But the enemy is there to whisper, this is really bad. I'm telling you, this is bad, and you feel it now, and you see it now, and you know it's bad. But our God is greater than all of that mess, and he will deliver us no matter what it is. So the worse the situation, the greater the test. The greater the test, the greater the testimony. The greater the mess of your life, the greater message you will have when you come through it. So Moses had experienced a great deliverance, and so he becomes responsible for delivering these people. But here's the situation quickly. He walked these people right out of Pharaoh's, right out of the hand of the enemy. And in fact, he walked them out, and Pharaoh and his people were so glad to get rid of them that they gave them gold and silver and jewelry. Just get out of here. The enemy, this is my prayer for you, that the enemy will get so sick of dealing with you that he will tell you, get out of here, take $50, take $500, just go. Whatever it is, take the jewelry, just get out of my sight. I am done dealing with you. And you can be his worst nightmare. So they had the silver, they had the gold. They had, by the way, escaped the hand of the death angel, those that were in sin and bondage. By the way, let me throw this in so you'll know this and get your theology right. Do you know that some of the Egyptians got free too? I have to tell you that God's people are entitled to freedom. But anybody else who will choose God, anybody else who will apply the blood, anybody else who will decide, I want to be free too. I'm not God's people yet, but I want to be free and I don't want to die. I don't want to go to hell. I'll apply the blood. They walked out too. So some of the Egyptians came right on out with them. But many, many people died at the hand of the death angel, and they were rejoicing, and they were so glad to be free. When God gets you free, aren't you glad to be free from that bad? Aren't you glad you're free today? Just somebody say amen. I am glad I'm free. And so the enemy, but here's the deal. Before you keep clapping, let me just tell you what's going to happen. The enemy's going to pursue you because he's not happy that you're free. You would think that everybody's happy you're free. Ken, you would think everybody was happy you got the raise and the car and the promotion. Everybody's happy for you, right? No, the enemy's not happy for you, and he's going to pursue you. So what do? You pursue God. You pursue God while the enemy is pursuing you if you want to stay free. Getting free, Ken, is not as hard as we think it is. It's obedience to God and walking away from the enemy saying, I have nothing to do with you, but staying free from that addiction, that's another thing, because he's going to bring that guy, he's going to bring that cocaine dealer right to your doorstep and make it convenient at a time when you're just hurting again. And it might help, but no, you got to pursue God and you got to fight to stay free.
So yes, we have an enemy that's attacking, and certainly you can see that in your own life. You can see it how God protects you, but you also see how the enemy attacks you because you're a valuable asset. But you have to remember that the enemy is also a coward and a bully. Yes. And who do bullies and cowards go after? Do they go after the strongest person? I'm not a hunter. I've never hunted anything, but I've heard about that when they go and they, if you go to hunting stores, they have all these sounds that you can buy. Like this is the sound of a wounded rabbit, right? And you can play that, or this is of a wounded animal, right? And so what the hunters do is they play this sound of a wounded rabbit. And it attracts the predators because they're thinking this is easy prey. Spiritually, Satan listens for the sound of unbelief and, oh, no, and what are we going to do? And, oh, we're in so much trouble and we're going to die and it's God's left us. And he hears that wounded rabbit. He hears those lack of faith and he's like, we've got a target. And all of a sudden if you go to the hunting store, which whatever that is, and you go to the aisle where they have the sounds, right, the wounded animals, they don't have one for lion because no one would use a lion because it's not going to attract anything. But what if, instead of being behind the bush saying, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, what if you were saying, in the name of Jesus, I'm protected. I'm surrounded by angels. Satan, is that all you got? Really? Where are you at? Because we're going about to worship God. We're going to worship God here in this car. We're going to worship God in this home. We're going to worship God in this church. You think Satan's hanging around worship services? Uh-uh. He isn't. And if you're praising God, you're driving away the enemy. So we've said this before, but prophesy over your own self. Look yourself in the mirror. Speak the word over yourself because there's power in the Word of God. And you go, why is there power in the Word of God? Because it's a voting system, right? Satan's voted against you. There's one against you. That's the bad news. It's one to nothing. God is for you. What if you're for you? That's two against one. And then you got Jesus is for you. The Holy Spirit is for you. All the angels are for you. Your brothers and sisters are for you. The kingdom of God is for you. The Word of God is for you. All Satan's a liar. Everything he tells you is a liar. And so it is, as Gio and us were talking about, it is a matter of perspective. That when things come into your life, you can act like a lion. You can say, uh-uh, in the name of Jesus. You can declare the truth. The more the enemy comes against you, if the more you speak the word and the more you're praying to God, he's going to learn that. That you get close to God when you're attacked. And by the way, I think it's a good idea when you're attacked to immediately fall to your knees and begin to praise God. Now, what should you do when you're blessed? It's a good idea to just fall to your knees and praise God. In every situation, you go to Jesus and it will confuse the enemy. It will confuse the enemy because he is convinced, Pam, just like he was with Job. Of course, Frida's doing so well. Of course, but if you could attack her somehow, she would curse your name. And God's like, you don't know Frida like I know Frida. God believes in you and calls your name out, but Satan doesn't believe in you. And you do get the final vote. And you know what? You might as well be on the winning team. Jesus is Lord, and he's bigger than Goliath. He's bigger than any Goliath, and he's bigger than any Red Sea. And if he has to, he'll stop the sun. And if he has to, he'll raise the sun.
You know, I think something is so cool in this story. I think it is so cool that God told the people through Moses that the Lord will fight the battle. You know, we try to fight the battle and we try to figure out, what am I going to do? Because the mountains are on this side. Do I run to the mountain on the left? Is this one smaller? Should I tackle that one first? Do I turn around and fight the enemy? Because it's a strong enemy. This enemy's too big to fight. So I probably shouldn't do that. Maybe I should flee to the mountain. I don't know which one. I can't really climb all that well, so I probably shouldn't do that. But the Red Sea's ahead of me and I'm surely going to drown. I really don't know how to swim that well. It's a pretty big sea. And we try to figure out the answer when, guess what? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. There is no answer to be figured out. You will never figure out. I had a problem not long ago that I could not, and Ken knows already what I'm talking about. I had a problem. I needed wisdom. I did not know what to say to this person. I had no idea. This is terrible. This is coming towards us like a wrecking ball, Ken, like a freight train. And out of my mouth, I knew exactly what to say. The Lord will fight the battle. The Lord will put the words in your mouth. But in this case, he said something interesting. He said through Moses, the Lord will fight this battle. You just hold your peace. Do you know what hold your peace means? Shut your mouth. You just shut up. Stop the complaining. Stop the crying. Stop the whining. Hold your peace. Just hold on. Hold on to your peace. That's a double verse, by the way. It's keep your mouth shut and hang on to the peace you have in Jesus. He is your peace. And, you know, sometimes we have to do that because we're too busy, like, calling people and talking and figuring it out. Be still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If you just stand your ground, you're going to see how God saves you. He will. Do you know how God saves you? I don't know the how, and I don't know the why, but I do know the who. I don't know the how and the why, but I know the who. I know the who is Jesus. And I love, Ken, how God told Moses to hold up the rod. And the rod represents the cross. As long as I'm holding up the cross, as long as I'm holding up the cross, the enemy cannot defeat me. He can come after me and pursue me, but he comes against the cross. And I'm an overcomer because of that. And I can go across that situation. I can walk across the water. I can go across on dry land, whatever I need to do because of the cross, because the cross is before me. And every time in the battle, many, many times, remember Joshua, when he held, every time he held up the rod, that's holding up the cross, they would win the battle. When they put down the cross And many people today are putting down the cross. They're not preaching the cross anymore. They're not talking about the cross. They're ashamed of the cross, and they're ashamed of the Holy Spirit. You know, my mom was laughing this morning because when I'm getting ready for church, you know, I have my phone in the bathroom. And there's this song that I love because it's who I am. I'm such a radical, crazy person. And if you ever get a chance, see the CCL Alexandra Virginia Choir, Apostolic Pentecostal Choir. It is a song called I'm a Pentecostal. And it starts out, we've been known to be wild. We've been known to let our hair down. You know what? Don't be ashamed of the Holy Spirit, because you're going to need him. You're going to need his power. You're going to need his comfort when you're hurting and when you're at your brokenness. You're going to need the Holy Spirit. Do not be ashamed of him and the work of the Holy Spirit. She also laughed at me. I was telling her the other night, we were talking about revival when I was a kid. And when our dad, one time, there was a revival at church here, and I mean, people were pretty wild. Tony Pacina might be the only one who would remember this. And my dad had, like, said, everybody kind of in the day had handkerchiefs and things. And he said, just wave a piece of paper, a handkerchief, and just tell the Lord, over here, just come over here. And as a kid, I thought, this is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever in my life seen. And my dad said to me after service, years ago, he said to me, you know, why don't you ask some of your friends to come to church? And I said, without missing a beat, this church here, my friends, that's not going to happen. I said, my friends are Catholic, and my friends sit quietly in their seat. If I bring my friends to this church, and there are people, I mean, there are people shaken. There are people at the altars. There are people falling down. Dad, do you understand there's people speaking in tongues at our church? How do I tell my friend? And I told Mom, she was just dying laughing. I said, Mom, I said, I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people. I'm one of those crazy people. I try to keep myself contained at church, but sometimes it spills over. But I can't, you know, sometimes at home, you know, I forget that I have my mom in the house. You know, Dave's gone a lot, so I can just do anything. I can dance around the house. Maverick doesn't say a word. When Dave comes home, he doesn't say, Mom was just all over the place. But my mom kind of, I forget in the morning sometimes, and she'll hear me now. And it's just like, I want an encounter with God. Don't you, Ken? Don't you want that?
Desperately, desperately. I've quoted my old pastor many times that he said that when you realize what you have in Christ, the world, you will feel like a billionaire at a carnival. That there's nothing, this offers nothing. And so many things that the world pursues, and the things that even that we would pursue, are just such empty, shallow dreams. And so sometimes you get caught off guard if someone says, what do you want in life? Or what's your goals in life? And if you don't realize that there's a better answer, you start rattling off all these stupid dreams that have to do small dreams that are not spiritually minded. So the enemy is attacking us, but there needs to be a part of you that can tell Satan, "Is that all you got? You got to be kidding me! Is that's all you got?" Instead of us folding under pressure every time to just say, my God is bigger than you. My God is bigger than you. My God is bigger than this problem. Let me tell you, the best news you can get is when someone says there's nothing that can be done. Because that means only God can do it. Only God can do it. And you should believe this right to the bottom of your toes. The Holy Spirit could do more in your life in 5 minutes than you could do in 50 years of counseling with people and talking to people. And you know what? The God, we are seeking a God encounter. I'm not seeking a fleshly encounter. By the way, when the Holy Spirit touches people, they're just not sure what to do. That's why some people laugh, some people cry, some people run, some people fall. It's like their flesh isn't used to this fire. So it is like catching someone on fire, they don't know what to do. They're running all around. They're twirling around. Some of them are falling to the ground. Some of them are just running because they're on fire. And when you get the Holy Spirit on you, you're not actually sure what to do. But I'm telling you, there is a when you are hungry for God and you say, God, I don't want just a natural encounter. I'm not looking to fill my mind or with some Bible knowledge. What I'm looking for is to know Him, to know Him. A personal encounter with Jesus, a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, it churns inside of you. When you say, Holy Spirit, I want you in my life, you better mean it. Because you may get more than you bargained for. And believe me, I have heard a lot of people that said, Holy Spirit, fall on me. And then we're saying, Holy Spirit, fall off me. Get off me. This is too much. Because the anointing of God is like that. It is a powerful thing. But it is something to pursue. It is something that God wants us to pursue, to seek the Holy Spirit. The early church was taught to seek the Holy Spirit. They sought God. They waited on God. And thank God the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the Jews. It's been poured out on the Gentiles. It's been poured out on the entire world. Upon all flesh, it's been poured out. The Holy Spirit is a gift. The Holy Spirit is not optional. The Holy Spirit is the plan of God. Jesus said, I've got to go away so that when I go, I can send the Comforter. So we can't reject the Holy Spirit any more than we can reject God. And we don't want to have just a fleshly encounter. I have learned, Pam, that I can live my life, if I want to, completely out of my five senses. What I taste, what I smell, I can live out of my emotions. I can live just responding to pain or responding to pleasure. That is not the way we're supposed to live. Thank God for our five senses. But there is, open the eyes. Paul said to open our spiritual eyes. And Jesus said to open our spiritual ears. So there's a whole other level to connect with God. And the last thing, and then this will be the end of the message for me. I am so fascinated that salmon can find their way home. How do they? They're fish. Mm-hmm. They're not building anything. They don't build anything. They don't do anything. But they know how to go home. How do they know that? How in the world does a bird with a bird brain know where to fly when it goes? And there's so many examples of this in nature. And the answer is God placed that, right? That whether it's somehow that bird can follow north, south, east, and west, or can navigate by the stars, something in its teeny head that God put there shows it how to get. And so many things like that in nature. How does it know? You know, how does this mother know how to care for her children? It's a polar bear. How does it know how to do all this? Who taught it how to do all this? And there's so many things in nature. How does it know? If God pre-built so much into the animals, don't you think He built within your heart a compass that points to the cross, a compass that points to heaven? Don't you know in your heart you belong to Him? Don't you know when you're thinking about it and you think about heaven or hell, do you ever think, oh yeah, I really belong in hell? What a lie that would be. You're supposed to be in heaven. How do I know? Because Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you, so you belong. And Colossians says, we are accepted in the beloved. In the beloved, you're accepted. You're accepted by God. You belong in the kingdom. You belong in heaven. You belong at the marriage. Don't miss it. Don't quit. Don't take your hand off that car. You've got to make it till your last breath. And the very last thing I will say to everyone here, nobody dies alone. You are escorted into heavenly places, the place that you belong. It is a homecoming. I love all of you. I'm praying for everybody. Keep us going, folks. We're going to keep keep the Holy Spirit, keep pressing into God. Good things are happening. Pam, I believe what you said. There is going to be a Latter-day outpouring, and we're not going to be the ones that miss it. We're going to keep expecting it.
That is so true. Pastor Ken's going to play for a few minutes. I'm going to share with you what God told me to speak to church today, late last night, and it was, I was dreaming, and it was a word, stop. Tell them to stop. And so I got up and immediately started writing down the things that God was putting on my heart. And these are some of the things that God told me. He said, I want my church to know this. He said, I want you to say to them to stop trying to convince yourself that you're not going to make it. God says that you are going to make it, that you're going to make it through all the way home. Stop believing that your situation is hopeless. Jesus is our hope. Stop believing that no one cares when Jesus cared enough that he would die on a cross for you. Stop playing games with God. Get all in or get all out. Make a decision. Stop making excuses and begin to make declarations over your life. Begin to declare who you are, who God is, and who you are. Stop going around that same mountain over and over. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. Stop rehearsing the past. Stop going over your past and what happened in the past. Instead, begin to prophesy and declare your future and your destiny, that God has a destiny for you and has put dreams in your heart and things that you're supposed to do in the kingdom of God. Stop blaming other people and stop blaming God, and instead start praising God. Stop whining, stop complaining, and start praising God and thanking God for all that he has already done and for things that he is going to do in the future. Stop complaining about what God, you perceive that God has not done, when God has done so much in our lives, and begin to talk about the goodness of God and the things that he has done, great things that he has done for you personally and for all of those that you love around, and that God has brought you this far. Stop being unfaithful and disobedient. Instead, choose obedience. Choose to be obedient. Choose to be faithful to God. Get off the fence. Make a decision. Stop living on the fence. Make a decision to work for God, to be in the kingdom, to be all in, to be sold out for God. Never give up, never quit, never slow down, never stop. Just keep going for God. You know, stop the other things, but begin serving God. Begin doing all he has called you to do and all he has chosen you to do. And if you will take that first step of obedience to do that one thing, whether it's talk to that person, whether it's to get faithful to church, whether it's to tithe, whether it's to love your neighbor, whether it's to forgive, if you will do that one thing, God says, I will order your steps and I will keep you going for the rest of your life. Because when you take one step, you can take 100 steps. If you can take 100 steps, you can make it all the way home. Because thus saith the Lord God, he is the host, the armies of the living Lord surround you. Yes, you may be surrounded by the enemies. Yes, bad things may have happened in your life, but the good far outweighs the bad. The greatness of God far outweighs the problem that you have, that you are so focused on. Let's stop focusing on the negative and begin to thank God for what he has done and what he is going to do. Just stop and start with God all over. Today is a day of new beginnings for you. Let's stand. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Father God, we choose no more whining and complaining and grumbling and seeing things from the negative side of life. Father God, that's the coward's way out, Father God. We ask that you would fill our heart with courage in the Holy Spirit. We ask that you would send revival. We ask that you would heal those that are sick among us, Father God. Father, I am not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. I invite you into our life. I invite you into this church, Father God. I invite you to send your fire to this church, no matter what that looks like, Lord. Father God, if that looks like running and jumping, if that looks like praising, if that looks like speaking in tongues, Lord, let us see the healings, Father God, and claim the promises, Father. Lord, we're making a decision today, even as Pastor Ken plays it. I have decided to follow Jesus. There is no turning back. Yes, I'm old. Yes, I understand that. But I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. He will pour out his spirit on the young and old, on our sons and our daughters, Father. In Jesus' name, we give you praise, for you are our deliverer. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. In Jesus' name, by the time we get back here tomorrow night, let us have heard the good report, Father God. Father God, let some of the people that come back by tomorrow night have encountered the living God, the burning bush, the calling of their name, Father God. Call their names in the night, Father God. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, as we make this decision in Jesus' name.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.